The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root and endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the primary ways that Jesus taught people, and one that was just unique to Jesus' teaching style, was his use of parables. And we have one of those in our gospel lesson this morning. A parable is a story that's intended to have a twist in it, something that is thought-provoking, maybe even mind-boggling, something that you normally wouldn't expect, but yet comes to you in this story. They're intended to often challenge the listener. Now, what we have in our gospel reading this morning is one of the few times when one of the gospels actually has Jesus explaining what the parable means in the second section there. And actually, many scholars have suggested that maybe Matthew, extrapolated a little bit here, because in that setting, they were teaching the early converts about the Christian life and so forth. But actually, it really doesn't make much sense for Jesus to tell a parable that you're supposed to figure out on your own and then turn around and explain what it means. What that is, technically, is called an allegory, where each part of the story has a corresponding person or thing. So, for instance, in this parable, as an allegory, God is the sower. And the four different kinds of soil are people like you and me, and how we respond to the word in different circumstances. But if Jesus was telling a parable that we're supposed to figure out, why did he explain it later? Well, that's for bigger minds than my own to figure out. But it's a familiar story, a familiar parable, isn't it? The parable of the sower, we call it. And I can remember back to when I was a kid in Sunday school, and we had these little fold-out pieces of paper that were handed out and in color cartoons on there, you know, and I remember the picture of the sower with the seed, and then there were four little boxes of the different kinds of soil, you know, and from the very beginning, you know, I learned that, you know, what this is all about is how I receive the word, and sometimes, you know, I might be like the rocky part of the soil, you know, where God's word comes in one ear and goes out the other, and it doesn't stick. Or maybe I'm like one of those people among one of those thorny people, you know, where the concerns of this world and the desire for status and money and being liked, you know, those things, you know, prevent me from hearing God's word. Or occasionally, I might be good soil, where God's word grows and produces great fruit. That's how I learned the story, and I bet you most of you did as well. But what if Jesus really had something else in mind? The twist, the challenge. What if there's something else hidden in this story that we often miss? Now, it's important, you know, to compare ourselves to these different kinds of soil. That's good teaching, and it's helpful for us to self-evaluate how we respond to God's word. And quite frankly, very often we fail and we fit in one of those first three categories. But what if there's more? You see, that self-evaluation, that's law. But where's the gospel? Well, I think it's there. But maybe we shouldn't focus on the kinds of soil, but instead focus on the main character, who is the sower. That's how it begins. Listen, a sower went out to sow. What if it's all about the qualities of the sower and not so much of the soil? Well, think about how that parable would have been received originally. Many of the people who heard this story the first time, you know, were very familiar with farming. You know, it's an agrarian rural area that Jesus is teaching. And they would have known how it goes, that the farmer would collect seed from last year's crop and would very carefully go through it seed by seed, selecting only the very best, the finest seed for next year's planting. And that seed throughout the year would be stored carefully and protected from damp and cold and from insects and so forth, so that in the spring only the very best seed could be planted. And before he would plant that seed, you know, they would do what farmers everywhere have to do every spring, go and dig up all the rocks, because the rocks seem to come to the surface every year. And so they'd remove the rocks from the field, and then they would carefully till the field so that it was all set for that precious seed to be planted. And here comes the sower. Instead of taking any of that care with that seed, he just takes it and throws it willy-nilly everywhere, on the path, among the thorns, among the rocks, and every once in a while, even on the good soil. People would hear that and go, "What is wrong with this guy? Doesn't he know how to farm? Doesn't he know that the seed is precious? But yet he's throwing it to the wind and to everywhere." What if the sower is God? And as he said, the seed is the word of grace, the word of God's love and compassion and acceptance. What if instead of being only very carefully put, you know, among those expected places, what if it was thrown everywhere, even to places and people that don't deserve it, aren't prepared for it, don't respond appropriately with it? What if that seed goes everywhere? The last few weeks in our readings, Jesus has been facing mounting opposition, precisely because he has been suggesting that God's grace, God's love and acceptance is not just for the chosen, special, righteous people, but for all the others, for tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and outcasts and aliens, for everyone. And the religious leaders in power felt threatened. They didn't like that. And they tried to get rid of Jesus. What if this parable is suggesting more of the same? That God's word of love and grace and goodness and compassion isn't just for the special few. That specially prepared field, God's planting. What if it's for everyone, in every circumstance, in every setting, every person is a recipient of God's love and grace? What if the sower is doing that? What if God is like that? Sowing unlimited, marvelous grace and compassion, not just to a few, but to all. Yeah, that would be unsettling to some. Maybe that's that word of grace that oftentimes we miss when we, you know, very naturally get, you know, we follow the, you know, the explanation, you know, we become soil inspectors. We inspect the soil in our own hearts, you know, and we very often find that we fall short, right? And that's an appropriate thing. We do need to evaluate our own ways of dealing with God's grace and God's word. How do we live that? But there's a danger. We sometimes skip over the self-examination and instead become soil inspectors for others. Ah, I'm the good soil, but what about you? Oh, you're rocky and you're thorny and you're, you know, the seed that falls in the path. Yeah, that self-evaluation sometimes goes awry. But what if Jesus is again, as he always does, talking about God's unlimited, overflowing, undeserved grace for everyone? What if God's word of love is for them too? It's a challenging story. A couple things come out of that. You know, either the sower is foolish, and we don't think God is foolish. But then, if for him to do that with this precious seed, there must be an unlimited supply. He's not going to run out of seed by throwing some on the path and some among the thorns and some in the rocks. He's not going to run out. You mean God's grace and love is unlimited? You mean maybe there's no shortage of grace? Maybe there's enough to go around for everyone? So, what does that mean for us as followers of Jesus? Maybe it's a good thing to self-evaluate how we fall short, you know, to living out God's grace and hearing God's word and putting it into action. That's helpful and that's important. But maybe we ought to do a little less soil inspecting in others and maybe a little bit more focusing on the mission of the sower and try to model ourselves after him. Not inspecting one another's soil conditions, but rather freely offering grace and love and acceptance to everybody, even the ones that disagree with us. Even the ones that we don't like, maybe even the ones we're afraid of and fearful of, maybe the ones that we just can't understand at all. Maybe God's grace is for them too. And how do we do that? First step, talk. Talk to someone who's different. Expose yourself to those different ideas. Listen. It's simple stuff, but maybe God's grace can come through us in that same way. Maybe we too can extend God's love and grace, not just to ourselves or to just a special few, but to everyone. Maybe we can do that as well. Because you see, there's a promise hidden in this parable too. Comes right at the end of the explanation, where it says that sometimes the good soil will produce 100-fold, or 60, or 30. That kind of production is unheard of even today. Even if you get your seed from Monsanto or DuPont, you know, rather than select it yourself, you know, 100-fold response. Amazing. 100-fold response when you don't even know who's going to receive it. Yet there's the promise that if we model the sower, if we share God's love and grace so freely, there will be growth. The kingdom will grow. And isn't that what we're here for in the first place? To grow the kingdom of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.